Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to Him in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open Your Word, Father, we want the Holy Spirit with us to give us the guidance that we need, Father, and take us into the depth and the truth of this, Your Word, so that we can grow stronger in faith, stronger in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know that we need to have a fellowship with Jesus. Help us along that line, Father. Make us strong. Be with us now throughout the remainder of this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Pardon me. I got that fluid to run. I'm going to be talking with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this evening. I'm going to leave Romans for a while. We may get back into Romans Thursday, I don't know. But right now, chapter 10 gives us several things to think about. One is Israel gets a warning and an example. And he talks about adultery and all in it. And about us doing things to the glory of God. So we got a little bit here in this. Well, let's begin here with chapter 10 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idlers, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? Pardon me. What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table, pardon me, and of the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's will. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not of thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God, even as I pleased all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this, his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forth and bring to you and I the message he would have us to hear this evening. All right. As we back up here now, this first verse, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Well, we know that when Jesus was calling Israel out of bondage, they was on their journey to the promised land. They had a pillar of fire follow them by night and a cloud by day. And we know that when they got there to the sea, he opened the sea for them, and they crossed on dry land. Now, we find that five downward moral steps of verse 5 through 10, the same people who enjoyed great privileges of God also fell into serious apostasy from God under that cloud. And this speaks of divine guidance and the protection of Almighty God. We know that they passed through that sea as he parted, and which actually gives you and I reference to divine deliverance. Whatever God has in mind for us, he can accomplish and will, one way or the other. So whatever he has planned for us, if we will listen and follow his guidance, follow that voice that speaks to our heart, speak to our inner man, we'll find things will work. May not be anything like we think, because our mind is not the mind of God. Now, we can plan with him, and should. But we need to go to him and ask him for his guidance to guide us in our planning. That way, we'll always be in and with his will. He goes on, Aaron 2, and tells us that, "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Baptized unto Moses. That term baptism. You know, what he's talking about there is because these Israel people that he was bringing out of bondage, he's talking about them being baptized by Moses in the cloud. That's because they had been immersed in Moses' authority. Moses was strictly over them all through that 40-year journey they took going into the promised land. And that's why he speaks there in 2 as of them being baptized by that cloud under Moses. Because the cloud followed them in the daytime. That's when they moved mainly, was in the daytime. And they were led by Moses. They were strictly under his leadership and his guidance. Number 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? You know, Paul here, he's not implying to us that the manna and stuff they was eating was not literal food. What he is implying is it was clearly designed for ordinary nourishment. It was spiritual in the sense that it was supernaturally provided by the Spirit of God. We know how that was because God was feeding them with manna from heaven. They had nothing else to eat during that period of time. They could go out and gather each morning what they would need for the day, but they was only supposed to gather one day until Friday, because they were not allowed to work on Saturday. That was the Sabbath day. So Friday, they had to gather for 2 days. And God gave them that. And he told them, only gather one day until Friday, and then gather for 2 days. And if they gathered more than that one day, it would spoil. It was no good until Friday. And then it would last Friday and Saturday. Then they go back together again. This all happened while they were on this journey to the promised land. You know, this water that they got from that rock, that was real water. They, you know, provided by God. And it was that, though, that caused Moses a little problem. He was supposed to touch that rock. Instead, he hit that rock. And it got him in a little trouble with the good Lord. That's really what kept him out of the promised land. He didn't get to go into the promised land. Aaron took him in. Moses went up into the mountain and died. Really, nobody knows how long he was in the mountain before he died, or just whereabouts in there he died. But he died and God buried him, or buried the body. Because we know Moses went to heaven. He was seen on the day that the Lord was transfigured and taken into heaven. He was there talking with him before he went up. Now, we're told there in verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Well, we know why God wasn't pleased with them. Because they were always murmuring, complaining. And they ended up doing things that they should not have been doing. We'll get into that here in just a minute. Here in verse 6, he says, now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idlers, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. This is what happened when they had Aaron make them a golden calf, because Moses had went up into the mountain to spend time with God. And he was gone longer than they thought he should be. They was thinking he wasn't even coming back. So they was leaving God, and they wanted an idol. Well, Aaron made it for them, and they went to partying. all kinds of evil mischief going on. There was all kinds of sexual immorality and everything going on. When Moses come down out of the mountain, and he was upset so much that he threw that tablet against that idol and broke the tablet of Ten Commandments. Had to get God to write him another set. But we were told just a little earlier about that 3 and 20,000 being destroyed. You see, when all that went on, Moses wasn't the only one upset. So was God. He opened up the ground and took 23,000 out of this life. Earthquake. He opened it up with an earthquake and took 23,000 over what they were doing. Now, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. He tells you exactly, 23,000 of them, gone. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. There was another time when they upset the Lord, that he put poison serpents among them, and these serpents were biting them, and when they were bitten, they died. Well, he had Moses then to make a brass serpent and put it on the pole, which was actually a prelude to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when they would look on that, if they got bit, and they would look on that brass serpent, they wouldn't die. They'd be healed. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he took your sins, my sins, sins of the whole world with him. He took all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases also to the cross with him. That's why we are told he had been beaten before he went to the cross. We are told that by his stripes we are healed. That's why we have healing today. But it takes faith. Just like your salvation is done by faith. When you go to the Lord Jesus Christ and you let him know that you are a sinner and you ask him to forgive your sins and you ask him into your life, you accept that being so by faith. You know then that you have salvation. But it takes faith. It takes the same thing for healing. That's why a lot of people are not healed. They'll tell you they believe that Jesus heals. But then they'll go to him and ask him, Jesus healed. He's already done it. That's already been given. You have to accept it. But they'll say, well, you know, I know he healed others, but will he heal me? He's no respecter of person. He heals one here, he heals another. It's you. He won't do it because you're not accepting it by faith. Well, what does accepting things by faith really mean? It means that when you ask him, when you go to him and tell him, well, Lord, you know, I've got this, and now I'm accepting that faith. By faith, I'm accepting healing. I thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. You keep doing that, because it may not happen right at that moment. It might, but it may not. It may be several days. It may be several weeks. It may be several months. But you keep thanking him over and over for that healing. And when your faith has gotten to the point that you know it's been done, it'll happen. Now, a lot of times it is done instant. And a lot of times it's done before you even ask. Because there's times that one is still walking in darkness when the Lord says, I want that one. That one's not his yet. He says, I want that one. But that one I've got work for, and I know he'll stand with me. It's like he done with me. When he brought me off of my deathbed, I wasn't right. Wasn't closer. I could actually stand as Paul did and let people know I was chief among the sinners. But you see, he knows all about us. He knew I would stand just as strong for him as I had stood the other way. He healed me, put me back into a well body, a body that had been completely healed. I didn't even ask for it. And it was done instant. But then, since then, there's been several times that I've needed healing, and it took a little time. For me to get that healing that I needed. I couldn't blame him because it wasn't him. It was something I wasn't doing. It took me a while to find out even what it was that really I wasn't doing. And the reason I wasn't doing it, it was something I didn't know. I didn't know to do it. Then when I'd find out and I'd go to thanking him, then down the road, just one day, you know, I'd be doing something and they'd come to me. You know, that don't hurt no more. It was gone. I got healed, didn't even know when it happened. Took me a while to find out. You've got to know and accept your healing. It's already been given to you. Now you've got to accept it, and you've got to thank him and praise him for it. And when you do that, it'll work. But most don't do it that way. And that's why a lot of them never get healed. And then they won't blame God. Well, now God healed so-and-so over there, but he just wouldn't heal me. No, it wasn't him. It was you. You didn't take it. He gave it. You didn't take it. And this all comes from not knowing the Word of God. As I said, there was times that I didn't get what I had prayed about because I didn't know it had already been given. And I needed to accept it. But once I got deep enough into the Word to where I could understand what my part was, then it would begin to work. We all need to be that way. But a lot of us ain't. Now, verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. We were talking about that. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Murmuring, complaining, just don't work. Now, all of these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. He's letting you and I know that we are now actually living in the last days of time. Paul is here because we are living in the church age. And you see, this age has to end because Israel is to be saved. There's a day coming where God is going to save all of Israel. But that will not happen until the church age has been closed out. The days of the Gentile has to end first. And that'll be with the rapture of the church. There's a whole lot, see, that we didn't know. And that's why we need the church. That's why we need our churches preaching the truth of God's word so that we can know these things. Now, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We're not to lift ourselves up and think that we're so good that we don't need nothing else. Because we always need Jesus and we always need the Holy Spirit. Those are two things you and I cannot do without. And we need them always with us. You don't have them just on days you go to church. You better have them at home. You better have them when you're in your car riding. They have come to make their home in us. They live in us. And we are to walk in them. That's why we must know the Word, because it is only by walking in the Word that we walk in and with them. That's the only way we can have fellowship with them. And we need that fellowship. It's not just go to the Lord once and say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner, now forgive me. And you're saved, and well, it's all over. No. You need a fellowship. And we're told that. But so many of us today don't want to believe these things. And we got a lot of churches that's teaching also the opposite way. 13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now we talk about temptation. And a lot of things that we don't think about because there's something else that's not taught in most of our churches. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was born on this earth, was born as a man. He walked 30 years on this earth as a man. He wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit his first 30 years on this earth. We're told in the Word that he has faced all temptations just like we do. Yet he was a man without sin. You see, God was letting him be an example to show us you can live without sin. Christ did. Now, we even have something now as a child of God that Jesus didn't have that 30 years. But we now have the Holy Spirit. He didn't have it until he was baptized at 30 years old by John. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon him as a dove. That's when he was filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But he walked serving God even before that. He served his Father. We are to serve him. Everything we do goes through him. Everything we receive from the Father comes back to us through him. And it's brought to us by the Holy Spirit. But it's got to go through him. There's no other way. He is the door. One place even says he's the gate. But it has to go through him, whichever way it's going. Now, 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee adultery. We're not supposed to have anything to do with idols or idol worshipers, those that worship them. We need to be strengthened from that. And that's the reason this is here in this verse. Is so we can and know that we need to be strengthened from that. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread, one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? You see, when that's why we have communion. And when we partake of that bread, we are partaking of his body. And we are to remember all the suffering and pain that his body was put through at the cross. And when we partake of that drink, that is his blood. And we are to remember that it took his shed blood to cover our sins. That's why we take it. And that's what he's talking about here. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols anything? Oh, but he goes on. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. You see, when they have this idol worship, worshiping these idols, they're worshiping devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. We're told not to do that and not to even associate with them. We're not to have anything to do with devils. And those that worship idols, that's what they're doing. They are of the devil. And we're not to have anything to do with them. He goes on to tell you and I. He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. We can't have it both ways. We choose one way or the other because we can't do both. We're either going to serve Jesus or we're going to serve Satan. Just that simple. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he is? No, we sure ain't. We don't want to provoke him to jealousy. He goes on telling us, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. We have to watch what we do. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now, there are things out here that you and I can do, but yet it really doesn't do us any good. It's not sin, but it don't do us any good. And that's what he's telling us here. So why do it? If it ain't good for you, leave it alone. If it ain't good for you, you don't need it. Now, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. We are supposed to wish for others beyond what we wish for ourselves. Now stop and think about that one. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that he asking no question for conscience sake. Now he's back again on things of idols. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is said before you, eat, ask no questions about it for conscience sake, so your conscience is clear. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not. Once you find out that that's being sacrificed to idols or devil worship, no. And you do that really more for his sake even than your own. For his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. You do it for both, but you're doing it a whole lot more for him than yourself. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thy own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Well, for one, you and I are not to place in front of somebody something that will make them stumble and fall. That's why when someone does something against us, we have to forgive them. Just as I was talking to you earlier. You see, that hurt, but I had to forgive it. And I'll be praying for them. And I'll be praying from my heart. Because I also have to put it away. Now, 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do is to be actually for the glory of God while we're here on this earth. Because this is not our home. We're journeying through it. and we're supposed to be getting ready to go home to heaven and make that our home. And with this next, we'll be closing out these next two verses. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Don't be offensive to people. None of them. Don't get out of here and give them a lot of trouble. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. We are out to get as many into the light of Jesus as we can reach. That's what we are here for. And we all need to be working with people we know, friends and people we know and come in contact with, and our families, trying to get them all into church, a good church, so that they can find light, and that light being Jesus. All right, let us go to prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for times and a place that we can come and gather together to share your word, Father, with others. Use us, Father, in great and mighty ways. Now, Father, the saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In our land here, Father, Father, you know what kind of shape our land has gotten into. It turned its back on Jesus. It turned its back on the church. It has turned its back on your people. Now, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will work with us to remove from our government offices those that are standing against you, against Jesus, against the church. And help us, Father, to replace them with ones that will work for you, for Jesus, for the church, and work with us and help us to put this land back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, we ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit will touch each one to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Now, Father, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Terry Coates, myself, Father, we all need the Holy Spirit at work within us to help us, to guide us along the way that we need to travel so that we can do the work that the Lord our God wants us to do. Now, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, Brothers in Christ in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, Meade County General Baptist Church, The pastors are there. Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, we ask the Holy Spirit to make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And the pastors, fill them to overflowing with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness to fulfill the work that they are to do for the Lord our God. For Pastor Harun Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, there, Father, in Pakistan, Holy Spirit, be with them. Keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombello and her mother, Sue and David, Palance Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife, and Karen. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them, Father, in a great and mighty way. Touch them so they'll know that their healing is by you and not by mankind. And Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless now. Remember, God willing, come Thursday, we can all be together again at 5 p.m. and back into the Word of God. Because in about a week, we're going to be making some changes. But hopefully, you'll remember to be with us 5 Thursday. So until then, walk with God, He'll walk with you. Good night, all.